Part 31, Chapter 1. Johnny was riding Windsplitter along the banks of the Alzette River in Luxembourg. He was leisurely wending his way home. It was a lovely summer day. The sunlight spattered down through the leafy trees along the trail, making patterns of green and gold that shifted gently and seemed to slowly echo the soft music of the purling stream. Windsplitter snorted and tried to rear. It was the bear. The same bear they had seen there several times during the 3 months they had been in Luxembourg, using this same trail from the old mine site to Johnny's house. The bear was fishing. He stopped now and tested the environment with his nose and saw them. He was a pretty big bear, brown, about 6.5 feet tall as he stood up.
"It's just the bear, you old fraud,"
said Johnny. Windsplitter sort of laughed and settled down. He did what he could to make life more exciting. And ever since the horses had been flown down from Russia, they had been getting fat from idleness. Johnny always rode him down to the mine site mornings and left him to poke around the strange doings there until Johnny rode home. Just now, he would have been far happier with a good old flat-out run through these interesting, summer-dressed woods. But he stood still, obedient to a heel command. Johnny sat and idly watched the bear. It had resumed its fishing, seeing no menace in the horse and rider on the other bank of the shallow stream. Johnny bet if he had been a cyclo, that bear would have left the country and would have still been running all the next day. Johnny indifferently wanted to see if the bear would catch any of the big trout with which the stream abounded. For all this beautiful day, Johnny had a small feeling of disappointment. He had awakened that morning with the odd conviction that this new day was going to bring something really eventful, some piece of good news. And all day he had been anticipating it. He reviewed what had happened so far to see if any bright event had been missed by him. He had gone, pretty much as usual, down to the old mine site to find the routine bedlam in progress. 3 months ago, he had bought the old Grand Duchy of Luxembourg from the Intergalactic Holdings. The Cyclos had had an iron mine there, which they had worked in a lackadaisical fashion. They had also built a small steel mill and a forge, which they used to turn out hooks, ore buckets, and such for their mines on Earth. The invaders had not touched the place, already well defended, and the deep underground levels had been ideal for doing the final setup of consoles. Angus McTavish and Tom Smiley Townsend worked there, behind vault doors. They had streamlined assembly, so all they had to do was implant the pattern of the circuit on the insulating board, assemble the console, and shove it into a shipping case. Everything else was pre-constructed, practically out in the open, since it gave away nothing. In fact, nobody but Johnny, Angus, Tom Smiley, and Sir Robert knew that the consoles were completed at Luxembourg. The pre-assembly even included boxing. People who did it thought Angus and Tom Smiley were just inspectors. But these two, working only a couple of hours a day, using designed patterns and tools, withdrew the pre-constructed console out of the case, finished it, sealed it, and then lined it up in the rows of them